Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. As always, we ask you to do a couple things. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then, go to Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@ComesNaturalPod.
Then, you head on over to iTunes, you rate the podcast, you review the podcast, and you subscribe to said podcast. Cody!
Welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And we're going to get right into it because we got some fun stuff today. First off,
we got bits.
Mike's Wrestling Minutes.
Mike's Wrestling Minute.
Today's topic is, Joe, what is it?
His top
five.
Five. But you said you would only come up with three.
I got five.
You got five.
You got five. Okay, top five
pro wrestlers
turned actors.
But it's for
non-himself.
It's not hit movies. Yeah. It's grossing. For grossing.
Yep.
It's gross.
No. We're not going with grossing. Good movies. We're going good movies.
He's
going
to go by Michael's definition of good movies.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And they cannot be
now?
Themselves in said movie.
Right. Or success that they've obtained.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
we'll number start with five.
Terry Funk. A lot of people don't remember Terry Funk. He's old as shit. He's still wrestling. He's like 74.
He's a wrestler.
He was
in
Paradise Alley.
Yeah, he was.
With the Stallone. He was in Over the Top. With
the
Mr. Stallone. He was in...
Mr. Stallone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Stallone.
Well, he was Stallone and then Mr. Stallone.
But... Yeah. Well, I'm trying to make it sound like he worked with other people. Oh. He was in Roadhouse with Mr. Swayze. Right? Not bad. And he was in The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville. So, Over the Top, Roadhouse, that already automatically launches you into the top five hemisphere. Go. Cody.
Question.
Yes.
So is Roadhouse and The Ringer, like, are they sequels?
Okay. Yes. Yes, they are. They are
played,
sequels.
Like, he played the same person, right?
In an alternate universe in which also Paradise Alley took place.
Okay. Over the Top, though, it's a different universe. Parallel universe.
Parallel.
That's, gotcha.
Over the Top is their Earth 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And that's why Stallone's in both?
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Boom.
Number four.
Number four would have to be John Cena. He's been in a ton of shitty WWE movies, so I don't like giving him credit for those ones. But he did nail it in Trainwreck and Sisters all past last year. Smaller parts, really, really funny. And you said he was pretty funny on his episode of Psych.
Yep. Like so, Juliet's brother.
So
Owen.
Yeah. So just off of the strength of Cody saying he was okay in Cody's favorite show, and the fact that he was in a legit, real, you know, two major released movies and did a very good job being funny with a cast full of funny people around him and nailed it, I gotta give him number four. I don't like it, but he gets number four.
Fair enough.
Number three.
Number three, I'm gonna have to go... I'm gonna go the Edge.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Edge. A lot of people might not know this. So Edge did two or three WWE production movies, which aren't great. That's not why I'm putting him on the list. The reason I'm putting him on the list is because he spun a guest spot on Sci-Fi's Haven, because WWE at the time was also on Sci-Fi, which made
Cross
no sense
weird.
Ever.
Yeah.
So he was on a one-off. TV, the show liked him. Audiences liked him. He came back for another spot. Then his career got ended abruptly with a serious neck injury. He was told he could never wrestle again. Ooh. So a couple months after that, Haven, the show he was guest spotting on, was like, hey, do you want to be a reoccurring character for the rest of the season? Started on that season and then did two more seasons where he slowly basically became the second lead on the show.
Nice.
And audiences really, really liked him. And he had a small role in everyone's favorite Flash TV show.
Hmm. All right.
So, you know, successful TV show. I say any TV show that lasts, after, you know, more than two seasons is considered successful, even if I don't like it or not.
Yeah.
It has to be considered successful, especially today. And the fact that he basically Steve Urkel'd him. Like, he was on for a minute, and then the show basically became about him.
Yeah.
So that's acting chops right there.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Number two.
Number two is the Animal, Dave Bautista. I almost forgot about him.
He's kind of a sleeper.
He's a sleeper, which he shouldn't be because he's actually in sleeper the most hold. Successful movie at any pro wrestler has been in with yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy. And he was a huge part of Guardians of the Galaxy. Not a a bit player whatsoever. Held his own with really good actors on a really good film. He was a fucking Bond villain, for Christ's sakes. Like, you forget about that, too. For some reason, I keep forgetting about him. And then, like, one of his earlier on runs, he was in Man with the Iron Fist. Did a real good job in that, just being the big guy that beats people up, basically. I really enjoyed the, was it, what's the actual title of that Riddick movie? Did I get it mixed up? Is it just Riddick?
He was in Riddick.
Yeah. I really liked that movie.
It's a good movie. It was it was what I liked about the original Riddick. They brought it back to
it was like Pitch
that.
Black. Yeah, yeah, it was like the actual sequel to Pitch Black.
Yes.
Had they just gone to that, would have been super dope.
Would have been super dope.
And then he's in a bunch of like straight to DVD and straight to iTunes movies because he's still early on in his career, but he's carving out a nice little niche for himself in the movie life. So good on him. He's number two on the list.
And come from the top rope, number one.
How could it not be The Rock?
Boom.
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be The Rock. Just, it's, I mean, there's no way around it. He has successfully been responsible for reviving a franchise in the Fast and Furious movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really don't think that movie, that franchise is doing as much business as it is without the addition of The Rock in Fast Five. Original content movies, the last 2 years with Central Intelligence, a non-sequel original movie, grossed over $100 million. The year before that, a non-sequel original movie in San Andreas grossed over $100 million, which is ridiculous to think. Mm-hmm. And then he's got a slew of shit coming out soon. A huge, highly rated show on HBO that just got re-upped for a third season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, and he's doing the Jumanji sequel. He's got a Baywatch remake. He's got...
It does not have vampires.
Yeah, it's not a Baywatch Nights remake.
Yeah, because they need Momoa back.
You had me, and then you lost me.
Sorry, buddy. Maybe it'll be like a after credit scene.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Hasselhoff will be fighting like a zombied vampire or something.
That'd be dope.
So he's number one, and... As a side cursor, I didn't really know where to put Hulk Hogan on the list, but he deserves recognition for being really the first wrestler with a mass crossover appeal.
Yeah.
His movies are nowhere near as successful as The Rock's movies, obviously, but he was the very first pro wrestler to transcend the sport and become popular all across pop culture instead of just in the wrestling world. So he definitely, I think without Hulk Hogan setting the bar and like putting that out as an option for wrestlers, you wouldn't see any wrestlers today, be in movies, at least at the rate that they're in. Cause they're in a shit ton of movies now.
Yeah. And I think what they're doing differently now than what they did then is that back then they were still in their personas really. I mean, that's it. When you watch any Hulk Hogan movie, you know, that's Hulk Hogan. That's not, Terry
Boyea,
you know, that's Hulk Hogan in that movie. Whereas nowadays, you know, you started off with The Rock. That's who played most of his roles. But now it's Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, so he's kind of separated himself from even.
And he's proved that he's good. He actually has some acting chops too. Yeah. Like,
he's got good range. He's done dramas. Yeah, he's done comedies. Like movies. Yeah.
The comedies are really funny. The action movies are always going to be his bread and butter.
But the comedies tend to be hard for people that don't do comedy.
Yeah. And then I'm still waiting on like that. There's a serious one down the pipe somewhere. Like, they had Snitch. I really like Snitch, but no, that movie didn't really seem to catch on.
No. And I watched it just recently.
And I think it was because it was too realistic.
Yeah.
I think that's why people didn't like it, because it was based on a true story. They stayed very close, and The Rock is just playing a regular dude in that movie.
He's not ass-kicking and
Like, at no point, you know, do you see him with the shirt off and he's beating up, like, four dudes where you're kind of thinking that they're going to take it there at some point. No, he's scared shitless half the movie. Mm-hmm. He's nervous about everything. And it played it pretty, like, down to earth. And I think that actually ended up hurting him a little bit, which caused me to like it more because I was worried that they'd go too over the top with the action on it. But, like, at one point he was attached to do a Charlie Pride biopic.
Yeah.
And that kind of went away, like many things do in the Hollywood land. But yeah, I'm still waiting on like that real serious role where people are like, oh, dude can like act too, which yeah. it's coming at some point, probably in a couple years. Because I think right now he's realizing like, because he's 40 something, like he's not a young man. You know what I mean? Like he's in his mid 40s, I would think. And I think he realizes right now he this is his chance to do his action.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why he's kind of focusing on that right now. 44?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Holy shit. You know how old Vin Diesel is?
Oh. 49.
49?
Damn.
Damn.
And he's already kind of, like, stopped being, I want to say action. Believable, but... Like, the fact that he's doing a Triple X movie now pisses me off. It's like, dude, you are too fucking old.
Triple X in general.
Yeah, but any movie with has where extreme sports are, like, an actual subline in the movie, it's going to suck.
Like, Tony Hawk doesn't even do
skateboarding
like movies. Much.
Anyway, yeah, that's my list.
Boom, Mike's Wrestling Minute. Minutes. Brought to you by Mike.
Mike's Wrestling Minutes.
All right.
Boom.
Boom.
All right, up next.
Our bit.
We have a bit. New bit. This is a new one we're trying out. Tentatively called What's in Joe's Mouth. Let me explain what this is. So we have bought a box of Harry Potter Birdie Bots flavor beans, which are jelly bellies.
Did you pull that out of your ass? You remember the Birdie Bots?
I just looked it up.
Okay.
I wanted to look at the flavors too. Because he's in it. So if you don't know who these are, from the movie the Harry Potter movies, there's a specialty candy company called Birdie Bots, and part of it is they make this jelly bean that comes in every flavor you can imagine of anything in the world, and I'm talking earwax and dill pickles and Thanksgiving dinner. Cherry pie, normal flavors, but also disgusting stuff like vomit and boogers. And so we've bought a box, and what we're going to do is we put them out in front of Joe.
Yes.
Joe gets to pick one. He's going to show it to Mike. Then Joe has to ingest it and guess what the flavor is by his advanced jelly bean flavoring palate.
Palate.
I hate palate test you so much.
Because so...
Because it's not like I haven't had these before.
Right.
Yeah.
This is just more for the ha-ha. Or that as well. Is that all the colors?
Is that 20 of them?
No.
Is there one of each? No, there's not one of each, huh?
Well, that's why, I was trying to separate them just now. I just think I'm missing this one.
I mean, if you eat multiples, you eat multiples. No biggie. We're going to go through them all.
God, I fucking apologize.
Okay. So pick one.
I'm going to go with the safe one here, red.
Okay, so it's a red one.
Red one.
Red one is usually like strawberry, watermelon. No
speckles on it. All right, we have a good idea what that one is.
No speckles on it. All right,
here we go. Because to give the audience, there's gross ones, but there's also some regular ones in here, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Joe might get lucky and have a couple good ones.
Here we go.
All right. That one is...
Hmm.
Huh?
It's not bad. It's just, it might be strawberry. No?
I don't have a strawberry listing on mine. It's not cinnamon, though?
No, it's not cinnamon. It's not.
Is it cherry?
Cherry. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. So we got the cherry one out of the way. God damn it. You got a good one.
Because I went with the safe bet.
You probably need a spit bucket, huh?
I already ate it.
All right.
Plus, he doesn't have water to cleanse his palate.
Well, I'll spit into my... Hank's Gourmet Vanilla Cream Soda.
Yeah, this segment, by the way, is sponsored by Rocket Fist. So
yeah.
If you can't tell, that's where we were.
God damn it.
All right, show that one to me.
Purple specs.
It's brown.
Is it brown?
Yeah, you're colorblind, apparently.
Well, no, I'm working in the dark
I got
here.
One of two. That's one of two it's going to be.
It's like
and
a brownish.
Neither
with
one
specs.
Of them's good.
It's like a brownish with specs.
Okay. All right.
We know. We have a good idea. Which
I'm
one
pretty
that
sure
one is.
I know what this is.
That one is munch, 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 munch. Oh, the face. The face is not a good face. That is. He's so mad. He looks so angry.
Joe, what is it?
God damn it.
What is it?
I don't know.
Is it? Could it possibly be sausage?
Yeah. The thing that got me right away is that it wasn't soft. It had like this. Its candy shell was thicker than usual.
That's gross.
But yes. Now that you say it's sausage, that's exactly what it tastes like. Is sausage.
Jelly Belly, big ups for getting sausage right. Like a breakfast sausage or like a dinner sausage?
Like a breakfast sausage. Like a sweet breakfast sausage.
Oh, that's
a sweet. Well, get this one because that one might go with it better.
This one?
No, that one right there.
This one right here?
Yeah. Eat that one next. Because of a good breakfast sausage, you need. Yeah, he gagged.
What flavor is it, Joe?
Is that eggs?
Is that rotten eggs?
It's rotten egg. It's rotten egg. Oh my god. Oh. He's still chewing. Still going. Oh, yeah. He's savoring it.
You should spit that out. That's not good.
You just
I got it. Oh.
Oh. So you just had a healthy breakfast.
All right, what's next?
Oh, good
Lord. What color? Go with the lime green one.
Let's go with this baby blue one. It's like a very light blue.
I don't have a baby blue. Maybe. Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
You got it?
We might have a good idea.
Yep. Be ready.
I should have gotten a bottle of water. That egg was awful.
Just take.
I barely drank out of it.
No, I'm good.
You sure?
You'd rather have rotten egg.
I have herpes.
In his mouth than your. Yeah. Which one that one? That one doesn't look bad. You don't look angry right now.
It's hard to place the taste.
Mike, before you say what it is, do you think it's the bottom left hand corner?
Because it almost tastes like a.
Let me see your list to make sure I have the
like
same one.
Like a Tic Tac. Like an orange Tic Tac?
Like an orange Tic Tac?
It kind of tastes
so
like
it's
that.
The same.
Same list?
The same list, yeah. Do you think it's the bottom left?
No.
You think it's that one? Because that's what I only think of.
I can't.
Is there a chance it could be soap?
What's the other option?
A faded ass blueberry?
Yeah. It's the only other one I can think of. The blueberry looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it could be soap, but it. But then again, following up rotten egg.
That's probably the best one to have after rotten egg.
But honestly, it tasted like an orange Tic Tac.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So we're okay there. We're okay there.
Choose another color.
Cody said green.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I said green.
There's two different types of green. So
there should be a dark green and a light green and a speckled green.
Eat the dark green one first.
So I've got the dark green one right here.
Dark green one. Okay.
This one should be pretty easy. And not that horrific.
Okay. Like a lime.
A lime?
No.
Could it be green apple?
Yeah.
All right. This combo flavor is messing with them.
You need a bottle of water.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the combo flavor. It's that.
Rotten eggs is still taking over?
No.
No, that's long gone.
No, that is long gone. No, it is literally like of the many different types of flavors that it could be. Like what is it? So it's hard to because
he
down.
Is we don't have a list for him to guess. So
no,
he's,
like if I
he's
a list
guessing
in
off
front
of
me,
everything in the world.
Yeah, if I had a list in front of me, I could easily sit here and be like, it's that. Hmm. What are we looking at?
I was gonna see if there's a dark green one.
Yeah, I just ate the dark green one.
No, there should be a darker green one.
Oh, like a dark there. So there's a dark green, a medium green, and a light green.
Yeah, and a speckled green.
Yeah, the speckled green, is it that one right there?
That's the speckled green.
Yeah. Go ahead and hit that one next.
This is going to be like boogers, isn't it?
Could be juicy pear.
Could be it
juicy. Juicy worse. Pear comes. No, juicy pear ones are delicious, sir.
They're very moist.
And delicious.
Ah, that's jalapeno.
What?
Or habanero or something.
It's spicy?
That can't be right.
No, it's a pepper. It's some sort of pepper. Like sure? A green pepper or something.
You sure it's not booger?
Have you ever had boogers before? Or boogers
if I have not spice? This literally tastes like a green pepper.
Interesting.
But if it's green speckled, it's supposed to be booger.
Yep.
That's I think I think they have more mixed in than the flavors we got.
All right, we'll go a different shade. Go for, I don't know, like a dark red one? Is there a dark red one?
I only have
a
dark red.
Is that dark red?
What's that one? What's this one?
These lights are messing me up, dude. Looks violet to me.
It could be
try
that one. Yeah, try that one.
Sorry. I'm not sure if I have saliva left.
So you need water.
Hmm.
Is it good or is it gross?
I can't really taste anything.
Hmm. Try another one. Looks just like it then. Load up on it. Like, get all four of these ones. They look the same. And eat. No, I'm serious. And eat all four of those ones at the same time. This one kind of
looks speckled.
Oh.
Now it has table spice on it. No, I watched the table recently.
These all look speckled.
Months ago.
Is it grass?
No. It could be partially grass, but it might be earthworm.
Earthworm?
Oof.
Or dirt.
Dirt is, yeah, what I'm more getting.
Okay.
Is it grainy?
No.
Ah, come on. Come put on, real texture. Dirt in your jelly right, belly.
So do the light green one.
This guy.
Yeah, that guy right there. It should go together with that one.
Yeah.
So this is probably grass.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's grass.
Grass.
Tastes very veggie.
Uh-huh.
I was hoping to get the dark green one because that one right you know, there. Better.
Yellow?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, yellow. Oh, my God. This better not be what I think it is. I'm going to vomit all over you.
Don't. It's not vomit.
It's not vomit.
No.
Vomit's because the vile one's like pink.
No, it wasn't. Okay.
What is it?
This one has more of a lemony taste to it?
Yep, it's lemon.
Okay.
Lemon.
I was going to say, if it's the buttered popcorn, I'm going to vomit all
over. Eat that one. This one right there.
Oh, I'm still chewing.
This one doesn't have buttered popcorn in it.
Thank God. I'd rather
eat. You don't like the buttered popcorn ones?
No, I don't like the buttered popcorn.
I like the buttered popcorn. Oh. I like buttered popcorn, juicy pear.
It's like a, I think, yellowish white.
I got a pretty good idea.
Okay.
Should we just do a cocktail of them?
That's a weird flavor.
As opposed to all the normal ones you've been having?
I can't place that flavor.
Could that be soap?
Yeah.
Could have been.
I think that one was soap. I think that was our soap one. Mm-hmm. The elusive soap. There's one I really want you to have, but I don't think we had one in our batch.
Which one?
Well, the vomit one.
It kind of had a pepperminty taste to it.
Vomit did?
No, soap.
Or the earwax. You really want them to eat an earwax one.
I think I lucked out. Oh, no.
Cocktail.
No.
Suicide.
No.
Suicide. Come on. We'll end it with a bang.
Right, so eat these three together.
Oh, my God. Okay, at least it doesn't contain egg.
Yeah, no egg. We're going to make meals for you now. You got three. He doesn't.
I got three purple with spots on them. Or maybe they were brown with spots.
I think they were brown with spots.
Brown with spots.
Those are the dirt ones, I think, right?
I think they're dirt.
I think you just ate three dirt ones.
It takes a second for the flavors to really kick in.
Mm.
Yeah, that was
the dirt. You have to be a connoisseur.
More like a dirtosaur.
Don't even look at it. Just pop it in your mouth.
These ones are pink. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pink.
Yeah. Oh. This is the most candy I've ever seen you eat outside of the giant fast break you eat weekly.
Yeah. Because I don't eat very much candy, unless it's a Reese's something or other.
Or he pays for her. Joke, it's a hooker's name. Or stripper.
Hmm.
What's that one?
It's got like a fruity taste to it.
Tutti Frutti.
So that, Tutti Frutti?
Like juicy fruit, almost?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Tutti Frutti. That's the good one, man. Give him the rest. Give him the rest.
No.
Come on, all at once, dude.
I swear to God, if I get another fucking...
Just all at once. There's... Ah, come on. Cody's treating him nice. Giving him shitty.
I like you, Cody. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Otherwise, I'm going to vomit all over this place if I get another fucking rotten egg.
There's no more rotten eggs left. There's only one. I'm
pretty sure there was at least one more in there.
No.
Or sausage. That was awful, too. No. But like, at least it's more stomachable sausage than rotten fucking eggs.
Rotten fucking eggs.
You're fine. Still being such a baby about it.
You try them then.
No, that's not the deal.
Oh, okay.
The segment's called What's in Joe's Mouth.
Yeah, we already did my segment.
And it's very simple.
Okay, was that everything?
Nope.
Nope, come on.
What? I mean, like
suicide.
What?
Suicide.
No.
Suicide. All of them.
Does it look like I hit all the flavors?
Yeah, you hit all the flavors.
Eat this one real quick. I'm not too sure if I know what this one is.
I like how we're just pondering it aloud. Like,
I just don't like it.
Maybe
just
try that one.
I know what these two are. I'm not going to give them to him.
It's like a pink with blue specks or like a white with blue specks.
I don't know if it's... I think it's...
Give him the buttered popcorn one. Oh, fuck. Because that's not a bad one.
It's not on there. Still.
Yeah, buttered popcorn's not on here.
Yeah, but we obviously have some that's not on that list.
Yeah, but that's... I know what these are. And that's the color buttered popcorn.
I don't want buttered popcorn.
What's that one? What do you think?
Tutti Frutti.
Another Tutti Frutti?
Yeah. It's a
give them the rest. There's not that many left.
Eat these. Okay, close your eyes.
Oh.
Close your eyes.
Oh, now we're getting sensual about it.
Okay.
So I've got three in my hand.
Three.
Did you betray his trust?
Was that correct? Were those rotten eggs? All right.
I think we're good. We don't have to eat anymore. I'm okay with that right there.
But I gave him a treat. It was two rotten eggs and a sausage.
And a sausage? Two eggs and a sausage. That's what you eat for breakfast every time we go to breakfast.
It was either two rotten eggs and a sausage or two rotten eggs and dirt.
Oh, he's actually spitting them out.
I would too. That's fucking disgusting.
Well, I could handle one, but two at the same time.
I tried to cut it with the sausage into the dirt.
Sweating. That's hilarious.
It was either sausage or dirt. I'm not too sure what the third one was.
It wasn't dirt. I'm pretty sure it was the sausage.
Good. I nailed it then.
That's...
Mike, you should eat the dark blue ones.
Nah.
These ones right here. You should eat these ones.
I don't want those ones.
I hate you guys
now. I think they're the blueberries.
I don't like blueberries.
You should do it anyways. You just fed him awful shit.
I didn't feed him anything. You're the one who... betrayed him.
I did it for the fans. They wanted to know what it was. They wanted to eat rotten eggs again.
We will come back to this at a later time.
This was awful. I hate you guys both.
No, it's good. It's good audio.
We need to go online, cackling,
laughing like assholes.
we need to go online and find the really weird flavored ones, not like the earwax vomit ones, but like the actual food flavored ones, and then do the same thing.
We need to go.
Nothing
find,
rotten.
Like,
no, we'll give you the real food ones, like the Thanksgiving dinner and stuff like that.
Okay.
Or just find like that 50 different flavored box.
And then we'll give you...
test them, because we'll know, we'll have a guide exactly which one's which.
Okay.
And we'll so we're going to look for that. They usually pop out during the holidays, so we might have to wait a little bit. But I'm going to see if I can find one of them bitches. And we're going to quiz you. We're going to put these away, though, for right now.
Please.
We should probably just throw those away.
Nope. You might want to save them for later, Cody.
No.
For Joe.
I don't think anybody does.
Don't take a drink out of this now, because this is not
so... it's full of rotten eggs.
Smell it, Mike. What does it smell like?
I don't want to smell
it. Do it. It's going to be funny.
Okay.
Why don't you smell it?
Swim around. Do you smell rotten eggs?
No,
it smells like rotten cream soda.
Okay. All right. I was wondering if it masked it by the being in the you know...
all that sugar in that cream soda just
destroys
them.
Now I'm really happy that I bought this licorice.
To try to cut through that fucking flavor, Mike just fed
is it? Is it trash flavored licorice?
Trash flavored licorice? It's from Australia, so it could be.
No, it's actually really good. Australian style gourmet red licorice from Willy Wallaby.
Willy Wonka?
Well, Wallaby. It's his Willy Wonka. It's his Australian cousin.
Or Wiley Wallaby. Yeah.
Wiley, yeah. All right. Next up, do everyone have their lists?
Yep. Yeah, buddy.
We are doing our top five horror movies just in time for next month's Halloween.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're never on time for certain things.
If we ain't early, we ain't going to do it.
Yep.
That's the motto of the podcast.
We'll go around.
it's not a good one, but it's there.
It's a motto.
We'll flip a coin. Joe go first. Number five, Joe.
Number five? Hold on.
God damn it.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Poltergeist.
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 The original, I'm guessing, not the remake with
yes, the okay. original one. Okay. Oh. You'll notice as we go through more of the movies that are here, I'm not big into the gory type of scary movies. I'm into more of the suspenseful type of scary movies.
Which is okay.
And Poltergeist is one of the classic scary movies that is exactly like that. And I absolutely love it.
Made for like $27.
Yeah. You know.
That's not bad. It made like, what, 52? That's a solid, solid return.
Boom, that guarantees a sequel they never made, technically. I mean, they did, but
they
like,
did make a sequel.
It's not by the same people.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But no, there's just a lot of good about the movie, kind of
it's fucked up.
Before, yeah, it's messed up. You know, you lose the little kid and into the gets pulled through the TV. You know, but
it was the closet.
No, they shows pull her out TV, through TV. The closet.
Yeah, that's right. Shows up in the TV. That's right.
Yeah.
Been a while since seen Poltergeist.
But I would say from that movie, you get a lot of the other scary movies that I like Paranormal Activity and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't get movies like that unless you have this movie. And it was still weird to know that Steven Spielberg had a producing credit or something like that in this movie. It's not something you would think that he would do after he does like all the Tiny Toons and the E.T. and the Jurassic Park and whatnot. But yeah, number five, Poltergeist. Number five.
Michael, what's your number five?
Can I say Jaws?
Yeah. You can say Jaws.
Jaws.
Scary movie.
Yep. As long as it's the first one, because the rest of them are not good.
Yeah, Jaws.
Not scary.
I rewatched it recently for the first time in a long time.
Because you bought it on iTunes, right?
Yeah, because it was on like the deal of the day thing. Because I've been real cheap about it. Like, I had been wanting to watch it for a while, but I was like, why isn't it on Netflix? Mm-hmm. And then it pops up on iTunes, and like a week later, it's on Netflix. All of them are on Netflix.
Yeah.
Not mad about it, because Jaws is amazing. I had forgot how violent Jaws was.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I was genuinely surprised when they killed the little kid.
Yep.
I was like, oh shit, I completely forgot about that. And
you mentally blocked it out.
Yeah. Because it had been years since I seen it. So rewatching it recently, it holds up really well. I mean, the problems that they incurred, which we've gone over before in the podcast, of why there wasn't more of the shark, you know, they had mechanical issues, blah, 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 which ended up probably making it a fucking masterpiece because you don't get to see it that much, but every time you see it, it makes an impact, you
and
know?
That's the like, scary part.
Yeah, yeah, and it's the score, you know, which is kind of almost just comical now because it's been ripped off so many times and mm-hmm. everyone knows it. But when you watch it and you just really focus on the movie and try to let everything else go, man, that score is amazing.
Yeah.
And then, like, because I still think that performances are, like, my favorite thing in the world. Like, when somebody delivers a really good dialogue, you know, when there's nothing, no crutches for them to use, no crazy CGI or action backdrops for a performance, when it's just people sitting around talking, when homeboy is going through his story,
mm-hmm.
that is one of the best monologues you're gonna find in a movie ever. What's his name again? I forgot his name. Cody, you'll know off the top of your head.
I'm trying to think of what I knew you're talking about. I don't even think it's
everyone knows. If I say the monologue from Jaws, everyone knows what I'm talking about. But I spaced on the dude's name.
It's the drunken guy that
It's the captain.
It's the captain, yeah. But, I mean, he was supposedly drunken all the time on set. And even when he did that monologue, he was passed out.
They did it. They spent a full day mm-hmm. trying to get that scene.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so shit-faced and unprofessional about the whole shoot, which, again, if you go back and listen to the story of the making of Jaws, which is, you know, just as interesting as the movie itself, they didn't really get the shot, and they're pissed because, you know, it was an important part of the movie.
Quint.
And so the actor who played Quint showed back up the next day, stone cold sober, apologized to Spielberg, said, "I want another shot at this." And the take that you see was the first chance he, or the first thing he did, the only thing he did that day. Sober, nailed it, all in one shot, fucking got it. So he still had some of those old school classical acting muscles left in him, you know, when he wanted to use them, which was very important. And that, man, that scene just furthers the movie along so well. So, yeah, Jaws, number five.
Jaws. Cody.
Mine is called Audition. It's a
math movie.
It's not.
It actually scare a lot of people.
It's not Audition. It's Audition.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Casting couch.
Not a casting couch.
Oh.
It's. I think it's Korean, if I remember correctly. It might be Japanese. Hold on. I have to look it up. I went away from it. But it's super messed up movie. First off, like, it's just super.
Violent. Suspenseful, gory, blah blah blah.
Yes, it's both of those.
Okay.
So it's basically like this. It. Yeah, no, it's basically this young lady who basically kills people. Really, was what it is. So but it's like it's super fucked up because she's like this little tiny Asian girl, and then she like her method is she takes like violent. Wire, like
so
string.
She's a serial killer.
Yeah, right? And then she like strangles you so much that it cuts through your throat, and oh, it's fucking awesome. But she's this little, like, you know, you wouldn't think it's her type of thing, but it's a really good movie. I love that movie.
I'm just trying to understand the premise a little bit more. She's not like pretending to be a kid or anything.
No. She's like a she's a little late, like a little woman.
Okay.
She's
just very unassuming.
Yeah, like she's just a little tiny little lady.
Gotcha.
And basically, like, a film producer has this mock casting audition, and like to play this like part in this like big upcoming movie, and she basically kills people. I mean, it's hard to like. I don't want to like tell you what's going to happen in it if you do want to watch it.
But was it like a movie? A serial killer movie that she was auditioning for?
No.
It's a fairly recent movie, too, right?
It's from 1999, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's older than I thought it was.
Yeah. Okay.
For some reason, I thought it was like 06 or 07.
No. It's Japanese, by the way. I was trying to remember where I was trying to.
Do you know
it
if
up.
It's subbed or dubbed?
They have both.
They have both?
Yeah. Okay. You can watch it both ways.
It goes both ways.
But Takashi Miike is the guy who directed it. He's very well known for. Making a lot of things, a lot of different movies. Well, that I know. I don't know if you guys are going to know too many of them.
Probably not.
But he's a very big director overseas as well as here. He's done a few here. But he's really big into like horror movies a lot, too. Not that's not all he does, but that's what he does a lot of. But yeah, it's my number five.
Cuckoo.
It's fucked up.
Joe, number four.
Paranormal Activity.
The
whole series is what I said because I couldn't really narrow it down to one movie.
I could.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I consider them all to be pretty much the same. Between the movies, there's no big difference in change in shooting or acting or whatnot. It's pretty much all the same. But I like it because it's a very suspenseful movie. It has a somewhat interesting storyline for a horror movie. And it's shot in a very interesting way where, you know, you just have the cameras rotating back and forth in some movies or just sitting statically. Yeah, the oscillating fan,
right?
But the amazing part about it is that it sets up so much suspense. It doesn't play any music. It doesn't, you know, you don't really get much feel for things except for something could happen.
And there's no score to it because it's supposed to all be found footage.
Yeah.
So.
And it doesn't always scare you, so you're almost scaring yourself with the anticipation of something just suddenly popping up.
Yeah.
So that's why I liked it. That's it.
My number four was Paranormal Activity 1.
Boom.
Yeah, not the whole series, because I would, I mean, I don't have two on my list, but that easily could have been number five for me. I think one is just slightly better than two, but also that will change depending on my mood at the time, because they're really that close together for me. But one and two I thought were fantastic. There's a lot of cool shit about three, but that's where it started to lose me.
Yeah.
And then I don't even think I watched any after three.
Because you didn't go with us to see
four
in 3D. No. Yeah, which was pretty dope.
Yeah.
You know, 3D was pretty good. Not anything but spectacular.
Just the first time I saw Paranormal Activity, it was like right before Paranormal Activity 2 came out.
Mm-hmm.
And like it wasn't really on my radar. And you guys were like, hey, we're watching Paranormal Activity 2. And I was like, what? Like, I saw it, like, in the store, like, Best Buy at the time. Like, I saw the copy of it. I didn't really know what it was. Like, wasn't very familiar with it. And Cody's like, no, it's fucking dope. You need to watch it. And then I talked to someone else. I was like, no, it's fucking awful. Which is weird, because you get that kind of response from it. People either really, really like it, or they fucking hate it.
And that's because of, to me, that's because of how it was shot.
Yeah.
You know.
I loved it. It was fantastic. It was the suspense. And then what's even better is, like, when you watch it a second time, you're looking for stuff now.
Yeah.
Because you know what the plot is, and you get stuff the second time that you're not supposed to see really the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So it sets itself up to be very rewatchable, and it's so fucking intense and really, really well done. So, yeah, Paranormal Activity.
Are they doing another one?
I don't think so.
Don't think so, yeah. Because for a while there, they were hitting up every single year. In October, that was
they did the spinoff one,
yeah,
the marked ones called Paranormal Activity, the marked ones, and that was pushed back to like March or April of the year. Like it was supposed to be that same time frame, like September October time, and then it got pushed for, I think it was delayed because of like actors' schedules or something.
Well, I think part of it was also delayed because of. They wanted to film it in Mexico.
Yes, that was part,
because of the material, the locals didn't want them to do it. So they had to move it to L.A. or San Diego or somewhere.
L.A.
That's all I know
of. Yeah, because it's all about us, like the Spanish lore of this whole weird witch coven thing.
Yeah.
About this extra-dimensional demon thing, whatever it is.
And also, I also have to give credit to the ending of 2.
Yeah.
Drawing into to the first one.
Yeah.
So fucking good.
If you haven't seen one or two, which
how dare you?
Yeah, first off, yeah, you're if you don't like horror movies, if you like horror movies and you haven't seen one and two, then there's something wrong with you. But they do an interesting thing, because one, the way it was originally made by these two people, and I can't think of their names, I could probably look up, I'm not going to. They made it as a standalone movie. So it ended, boom, as it was. Then they got a shit ton of money from Sony, I do believe, was to say, we need you to make another one. And they're like,
okay.
Like, we'll make another one.
It's one of the best sequels.
Oh, ever. Easily. And the cool thing about it is, like Mike was saying, is not only does 2 lead into, like, 1, but they take place during the same time. So part of... Like, what you find out is when you first start the second movie, it's actually happening before the parts of 1, and then something happens in 2 that leads to the events of 1, and then 1 comes back and ends 2.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting way of doing it.
But you don't see it coming either.
Yeah. Oh, it's super. Yeah, definitely don't see it coming.
It's one of the top twists in movies that I've
legitimate
ever
twist
like
too.
Like up there with, you know, I See Dead People, you know, mm-hmm. with the Bruce Willis thing, with like Book of Eli, like I'm just saying, like modern ones, you know, those two and this one, they're all on the same par to me in terms of just like surprise factor
and for you classic horror movie fans, something like Rear Window,
yeah,
like that kind of twist where you like shit, like, you know, it's not even a twist. It's like literally a U-turn. Like, whoa, okay. All right. You know what I mean? So,
it's dope.
Yeah.
It's dope.
My number 4 is Saw, the original. Joe's not a fan of gore.
Nope.
Because he's a pansy.
It's not that.
And this one has it. A lot of it.
It's not that.
This one, the reason I love this one so much is, one is it was very original for the time, for what it was. Because it was... it came out at a time where found footage movies were like the rise. Paranormal Activity came out after this, I do believe.
Yeah.
But this one kind of went away from everything, but was like more of like a classic Texas Chainsaw Massacre type thing, but more with a cerebral aspect
like,
to it.
Yeah, and Saw has its gore, obviously. Like, it's a lot of it's built on that. But there's a lot more to Saw than just a gore movie. Like, that was the problem with, like, what Saw turned into. Yeah.
It was just a gore fest after that.
Yeah. But, well, even the second one kind of holds up pretty well.
With one, two, and three are still the best of them. And then they just got ridiculous. Because those three were made by some of the same, like, not the same people. Because the first one was made by one gentleman. Well, it was written by two. But it led into this, like, hey, let's just make it as, you know, gross as we possibly can, you know, rip a guy in half with cars and blah, blah, blah. And they went away from the, like, to me, they went away from what it meant for the Saw franchise, like, what it was, because Saw had a meaning behind it. Like, the Jigsaw killer is a misnomer because he never actually killed anybody. They essentially did it to themselves because they didn't want to face the facts and things like that. So it's a really interesting way to look at it, but it's super fucked up too, because it has one of those, it has a twist in it that A, you definitely don't see coming, but also just the, like, it exposes the worst of humanity in these situations, not just overall humanity, but like in those situations, like when you're putting those, you know, my death versus your death, I kill you, I survive, you kill me, you survive type thing, and just completely flips it around to make it even worse than it possibly could. But it was very well done. It was shot for very little money for even a horror movie standard. It was shot for just over $1 million.
And it had some, I mean, not like superstar actors, but it had some good
Cary
actors.
Gary Elwes is in it. Tobin Bell, who's, spoiler alert, I guess, is the Jigsaw killer in it. He's a well-known theater actor as well, as he's been in a lot of movies. But I mean, it has, well, she's known now, Monica Potter, but then she was very unknown at the time. That helped her career, and luckily did not just stay in horror movies, but other things too. But it has like, what's it? The Danny Glover was in it, you know, that sort of stuff. So had some pretty.
Was Donnie Wahlberg in the first one?
He's in the second one.
Right. Okay. He wasn't even like a bit part.
He was a bit part in the first one, but right, he was more the second one.
And they carried his character over.
Yep. Yeah, he became the focus. Well, mainly because of what happened. But spoiler alert. So yeah, that's
the ending of the second one. Was like a punch to the dick too. Yeah. Like I was like, for sure. God damn it.
But when you find out, like when you find out though, like what's going, like by the time in the second one you find out what's going on, the first one, second one, and the third one, you're just like, fuck. Like, and it's one of those things where, like, you find out one and two are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And then by in the third one, you're like, holy shit, like, this goes way deeper than I want. And then it just spirals out of control from there,
for sure. I did hear that, like, whatever the last one was, like six or seven or something, kind of, like, wrapped it up pretty nice, though.
Yeah, they did. They wrapped it up pretty well, yeah. And as well as you could from moving from writers and directors to different people, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Cool.
Number three.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, that's a fucking good pick, man.
If this isn't on any of your guys' lists, I'm defriending you.
It is on my list.
Spoiler alert.
I'll tell you where it's at.
I don't care where it's at, just as long as it's within your top five. Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm just getting to my top five.
Yeah, okay. We can be friends still.
Yeah, but not Mike. Mike's out this bitch.
God damn it, Mike.
No.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this movie does go against a little bit of what a lot of these other movies are, and even the next one will, actually, where it does tend to be a bit more gory than, you know, suspenseful. But it flips the whole trope of scary movies on top of its head, because you think it's going to be your standard cabin in the woods type of scary movie.
It's like if, like, I don't know the story, but when I watch it, knowing what it is now, and I watch it, you know, rewatch it, it feels like they started writing a spoof And then they're like, we could make this actually good, like halfway through it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And yeah, so it seems like a spoof turned into a really good idea, turned into a well-executed movie, which is really weird. Like, I've never felt that way about a movie before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's super dope.
Good actors behind it with Thor, and I can't remember some of the rest of the cast, but you had your stereotypical, you know, hot girl, jock, but the jock was still smart too, which led to a hilarious thing where he's going to go jump that.
Well, there's a reason why, though.
Yeah.
But
then you have, you know, the stoner and the smart chick.
Chaste virgin.
Chaste virgin. So it follows those tropes exactly to a T, but the twist is that you find out that they are part of a ritual that happens, what was it, every year?
Every year, but in, like, all over the world.
All over the world. But it was only, these rituals had to be only completed once somewhere in the world.
Well, no, all of them. All of them had to go through it.
No, because I always took it as only one had to succeed.
No. No, all of them have to go. It's a betting on they use it, but all of them have to go through.
Yeah, they have to go through with it, but whether they succeed or not.
Well, I mean, if they don't succeed, then
only one of them has to succeed. That's the way I took it, because if the Japanese didn't make it, you know, with the ghost was captured. There was a King Kong one. There was other ones. Those ones didn't go through. Those ones. Failed.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Those ones failed.
I thought you meant the people, but no. the experiments from the, yeah.
Yeah, the experiments. Only one of these experiments had to succeed. I guess is what I should say.
Yeah,
and it's funny as these because it's run by the government, and the whole idea is that they're trying to prevent these ancient gods from arising, and by doing that, you have to make a sacrifice, but you have to make it in a certain way. So you have the United States has their team, Japan has their team, all these other countries have their teams, and it's funny to watch them because they have cameras in the other places and you can see who's succeeding and who's, you know, failing at their stuff. And they're so gung-ho about the fact that, oh, it's, you know, we're the U.S. and we can't fail and these zombies are going to get them. But the one guy really wanted to see a merman kill somebody for once. And it's just that whole, yeah, you think it's going to be a typical, like, scary movie, Cabin in the Woods type thing, but it ends up being this semi-funny horror movie.
It's a horror comedy for sure.
Yeah, and it's totally unexpected when you start to find out that stuff, because they really kept a lot of that stuff quiet going into it. So very, I know when quiet. I went into it and watched it, I didn't know what to expect. But to find out that it ended up being this government facility and blah 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 and all this was staged just to kill these people in this ritualistic way, it was actually very good. So yeah, that was my number three.
Michael, number three.
Silence of the Lambs.
Ooh, good one.
Again, going back to earlier, my favorite thing in movies is watching people chew up scenery and deliver dialogue, and there's a lot of scenery chewing and dialogue being delivered in that movie
from multiple people, no less.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and like at the highest level too, like it's up there. I mean, I think everyone kind of knows the breakdown, Silence of the Lambs. I don't have to go into it that much. There's some gore factor to it too, a small amount, but it's really shocking, especially when you first see it. Like, I know I didn't see it when it first came out. I can't really pinpoint my age the first time I seen it, but it stuck with me, and it's always been one of those ones every so often I go back to, and then I'm like, so a lot of movies that I thought were scary, I'll go back and they don't hold up and they're kind of bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one holds up. This is just a really well made movie.
That was definitely one where it was supposed to be Jodie Foster as the main person.
Yeah.
She was the headliner and Anthony Hopkins just
fucking stole it.
He jokered her bell, you know?
And in true fashion too, like, he's barely in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is because Silence of the Lambs isn't about Hannibal Lecter. Hannibal Lecter's story is a different book. These are based on books, if you didn't know. It's a different story in general. It just happens to be in that same universe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and every scene he's in, he's just He's just like, nah, fuck you, upcoming actress lady. I'm stealing everything.
The one thing that always got me when I watched this movie, and at first I didn't really realize it until I started watching Monk more.
Yep.
And then I realized that the detective, not Monk, but the lead detective, actually the was chief. The guy who played, chief. Yeah, played Buffalo Bill. Yep. So now every time I come back to that, I'm like, oh, that's what happened to him.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Yep, that's it.
All right. My number three, 28 Days Later.
I thought about putting that one on there.
I love this movie. I like the sequel, too. It's not as good. I do like the ending to the sequel quite a bit because it's super fucked up. Mainly because you get to see France get fucking overrun by rage zombies.
Yeah.
I don't like to call them rage zombies, but they're not really undead, but they're not really very sentient. They're just wild things that want to kill, you know? They're infected with rage.
Mm-hmm.
But that aside, the movie is super, super dark. Especially the first one, especially, it's very gritty. It was shot on film. It was shot in a way where you felt like it was a really older movie, even though it wasn't old. I mean, the crazy thing about this movie is it's as of right now, it's 14 years old. It doesn't seem like that far long, like that far ago. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago we watched it, but it also does seem like it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But it's the cast is very, very small for the most part, for speaking parts especially, and it. I think my favorite part is it owes a lot to Robert Kirkman's Walking Dead than most people want to give it.
Yeah,
it's due, but it has a lot of the elements and things that Robert uses in The Walking Dead, but in a different way. Because again, they're not zombies in the traditional sense where they were dead people who rose. It was an infection that when you get infected with it, and it's only by contact. And it has to be bodily fluid contacts of scratching, biting, things like that. You don't die. You get a fever, and your brain starts to basically shut down. And the only thing that basically is working is your rage. So you go into this mad state where you literally just all the anger you could ever imagine you'd have is a thousandfold, and you just want to kill everything in sight. You see someone, you just want to kill them. It doesn't have to be hate towards that person. It's just you need something to push that rage out to, and it just have to go. So you're not like eating people, you're literally just beating to a fucking pulp until they're done, and you have to find someone else. That's all it is. So it's pretty fucked up for the most part. But Cillian Murphy, some people may know as Scarecrow from Christopher Nolan's Batman movies. Other people may know him from my number one pick, which I won't let you know just as yet.
Red Eye?
That's what I was gonna say.
Is it Red Eye?
No.
It's okay, really so like, no. If your number one pick's Red Eye, I'm throwing a phone at your face. No,
it's not Red Eye.
That's what I was thinking, though.
But he does a tremendous job in it, and he carries the movie because he's the main, really the only main character in it. There's some other side characters, but he's the focus of it all. So you follow his misadventures as you go through this desolate London, which is amazing because like they did a really good job of making London look deserted. And they had to shoot on London streets.
Yeah, that was the movie where they had to get up early enough to where there weren't very many people on the streets. And then those who were there, they were just like, hey, guys, just hold on a second. We're going to film this, and then you can go about your stuff. So it's not like they went out and got permits to film on the street and this
and
that.
And they had to do it without planes flying over because London is very congested airspace. So they had to shoot in between flights. And I think they digitally removed a couple even, too, that they didn't that weren't meant for the movie. Because there's a scene where you have a plane. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's amazing. And the ending of that movie is just tremendous. Tremendous. I love the ending of that one. So.
Joe.
Boom. Number two.
The Thing. There's not much to say about it.
There's two of them, so.
Oh, the original one.
Just making sure.
Because
they're both called
The Thing. The sequel is not a remake. It's a sequel.
It's a prequel.
Or a prequel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so a cold.
You like The Thing too.
You do like the Thing too.
Disagree with that, because that other one false? I actually haven't seen, but I've heard is really awful.
No, it's actually really good.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Really?
It's pretty good.
You like it?
Yeah.
You like it?
Pretty good.
Well, maybe I will.
It does a very good job. The thing about it is, and we'll we'll go into more about the original, is, like Mike said, it's a prequel.
Spoiler.
But it's also, in a way, a remake, in a sense, too. Because they tried to explain more
of what... They had their cake and they ate it, too.
They literally did, yeah. I mean, they tried to explain more of it without telling you, it's an alien!
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like... But you don't know if it is or not, in a way. It's very, very alien-ish, with that the whole, like, you know, where did this come from? How did this happen? Are we going to be okay type thing?
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to this the original, which is the sequel after that one came out, and you're just like, oh, okay. No, like, this is the traditional horror movie that this sci-fi horror movie before... led up to, and like it was a really interesting way. The cool thing about this, the prequel, is it ends at the beginning of the original.
Okay.
So like the helicopter lands and they get off, and it's them. You don't see Kurt Russell.
Oh, he's not in it.
No, because I mean, it's fucking 30 years later. But
they can digitally young.
Not back then. Yeah. Not back then. That was before Disney was like, hey, Tron it up. But you see him, and you're like, oh, shit. And so.
Okay. So I guess I will have to.
I recommend watching it for sure.
Okay. Yeah, but the thing, again, you know, it does have some gore in it. And I know I've already said I'm not big on the gore stuff. But just the rest of it, where it's this close quarters, everybody's together, but they don't know what the thing is. And then you find out that it can shapeshift and it can turn and it's actually killing people and taking their form. You don't know what its end goal is, but you just know that it could be any person.
And there's almost no way to tell.
And there's almost no way to tell up until they do have the one test for it.
Once they figure it out, yeah.
Yeah, but by then, you know, things have just gone to shit. They can't get rescued.
Oh, there's one where to tell they had to snort that drug that Josh Hartnett made for everybody?
No.
Was Josh Hartnett born at that time?
No.
The Faculty. Yeah.
I can't believe you made a Faculty reference.
You want to bring up Stealth, too?
Ugh. Gross. Talking about horror movies.
No, horror.
Horrible movies. Yeah, sorry.
There's more syllables than that.
Gotcha.
Ayo.
But the thing that
Jamie Foxx.
The thing that always drives me back to that movie is the ending and how ambiguous it was, and just the fact of it just ends with Kurt Russell and I can't remember the other actor. They're just like, well, you could be the alien, I could be the alien. Let's just drink, and then it. The movie pulls back and it ends. And you're just like, what happened?
But was one of them the alien?
Yeah, and see, I'm not like that. I'm not like other moviegoer where they're like, oh, I want an ending. I'm like, well, that was the ending. That was that's what you were given.
There's definitely, that is a better way of doing a cliffhanger.
Yes.
And there's some movies that are just like, is it? And you're like,
yeah.
Just tell me.
I have read, however, that if you pay attention to certain things, and I'd have to go back and read it, you can actually tell which person is the alien, whether it's Kurt Russell or the other actor.
I thought it came out, well, in that is like you find out that they're both infected.
If I remember right, because it wasn't an infection, really.
Well, not infected, but they're both it, because at one point it splits, right?
No. From what I remember is that there's little cues you can look for. I just can't remember the cues, but it ends up being the other actor, not Kurt Russell, who ends up being the alien, and something to do with the alcohol that he has. Like, I can't remember, but go look it up. It's actually,
I say we watch it again.
Okay.
Ooh. All right.
Do over. All right, Michael.
That's my two.
Number two.
Cabin in the Woods.
Woo,
I already talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe, boom. You're number one.
Wait, hold on. My number two is Cabin in the Woods. The one thing I'm going to bring up that Joe glossed over, the reason we went and saw it.
Yes, I did actually gloss over because it's what's-his-name's movie.
Joss Whedon produced it.
Yeah.
And his protege, Drew Goddard, Daredevil anybody?
Yeah.
Is the one that directed it and co-wrote it with him. And if you really believe the rumors, there's a guy who says he wrote it and they stole it from him. But fuck that guy. He's not famous. So go suck a dick.
yeah. Fame is all that matters.
It's true. It's just how it works. So, yeah, Cabin in the Woods, that's the reason we went and saw it. Obviously, it was in the height of the upswing, I guess you could say, of Marvel, like built them building themselves into it. Joss Whedon was involved in a lot of it.
And Thor.
Thor was in it, so it's like, oh, another movie.
It was right after Thor, right?
It was right after Thor.
Like, fucking like, Thor was dope.
Yeah. It was like that same year, too.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, they shot it like way before, though, right?
It was shot before, yeah. He was already, and that's the reason he was in this, because he was cast as Thor, prepping up for other things. There was originally a scene that was supposed to be shot for Captain America that had Thor in it. Obviously, we know the scheduling, it doesn't matter. Joss Whedon liked him so much, he's like, hey, I've got this other project you'd be perfect for. Man. Come on over. And then he executive produced it, he co-wrote it, and then Drew Goddard masterfully directed it. And then those two worked the promo machine to make, as Joe said, nobody knew what was going on in that movie. Because I guarantee you, if you haven't seen Cabin in the Woods...
And we were lucky enough to go watch it opening weekend.
Yes, yeah. That's the reason we still go see movies opening weekends that we think that we don't ever want to get ruined. It's because of things like Cabin in the Woods. But... do yourself this favor. Watch the original theatrical trailer, if you don't remember what it is, and then watch the movie, but don't watch anything else about it.
Or read anything.
Or reading about it. We've already ruined some of it for you.
Yes.
And then just realize what you saw in the trailer, and then once you start that movie, A, you will start off completely fucking confused, and then things sum up for you right away, but you're just on a roller coaster from there on in.
Yeah.
Because they tell you flat out what's happening in the first 10 minutes of that movie.
Yeah, that's but
you,
thing.
You're
yeah.
super confused because you remember, you're going into it, remember that trailer? Like, I watched this 2-minute trailer. It was a horror movie. Why are these guys driving around in a golf cart?
Yeah.
I'll just leave it right there. Amazing movie.
Yes.
And that's why it's number 2 on Mike and ours list and number 3 on Joe's.
Yep.
Joe, what's your number 1?
Joe, number 1.
Shocker.
Alien. Why is Alien your number 1?
Do we have to talk about Alien?
We do a little bit. Let him have his little scene.
First off, without Alien and Aliens, you don't get a lot of
movies. You don't get Alien 3.
yeah, you can go fuck yourself, though. You don't get a lot of movies that you have today. A lot of stuff ends up taking away from either the suspense and whatnot built up of Alien or the action taken from Aliens. But it also goes back to the fact that you don't see the alien for most of the movie. It's so suspenseful because you don't know where this goddamn thing is. It's the Jaws theories, but it also goes back to the thing stuff where it's a small crew on this giant ship.
It's a very tested...
It's a very closed-in thing.
Which automatically has a, like, nobody likes being enclosed in a small space in real life. Like, if you're stuck in an elevator with, like, 4 people and it gets stuck for 10 minutes, you fucking hate it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like,
you're ready to eat the next person.
Yeah, it plays really well to, like, you let. It's almost like a. I don't want to say a cheap trick, but it's. It's because it's not a cheap trick, but it is a very quick way to get the audience
understanding. In a mindset.
Yeah, getting in a tensed mindset right from the get-go. And then you could play with it however you want to.
Because with a lot of people around, it's not so suspenseful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the amazing work of H.R. Giger, who in and of his own crazy fucking mind just wanted you to be really awkward with it. Well, creeped out and awkward with the whole idea that a lot of his stuff, like the alien the alien, like the head, represented like a penis, you know, and you had the vagina of the ship entrance, you know,
also in the aliens overall, it had to look like a fetus, right? The way it was
Yeah. So it's supposed to, you know, make you
be
very
creepy.
Creepy and awkward in that sense. But the acting was absolutely phenomenal. What? Oh, yeah. the alien's second mandible.
Yep.
The jaws that come shooting out at you.
We talked about surprise endings a lot, but what about surprise scenes with the chess scene?
Yeah, and how to get your actors be surprised and after you've thrown them through the ringer for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Ridley Scott thought of a brilliant way to bring his actors back into the fold, because if you know the story, and I don't want to step on Joe's toes, the scene we're talking about is when William Hurt is laying on the table and he has come out of having the face hugger on his helmet and his face. He wakes up and everyone's like, oh shit, like, you seem okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the face hugger's like, bleh. So they're going out their business, and all of a sudden he shows signs of sickness. He throws up. And the scene we're talking about is one of the last scenes they shot because of the it's one of those things where they had to look clean, and it's hard. You don't want to, like, you know, he did it out of order, obviously, but he got to the point where, like, the actors were running and hiding and scared and dead or whatever, and he's like, hey, I need a way to bring them back into, hey, this is fresh and new, that you don't know what's happening. So what he did is he didn't tell them what was happening. He said they're going to come in, William Hurt is going to do something. Something's going to happen. Little do they know, when they come in, he's on a table, and they can't tell, just as the viewer can't tell, that William Hurt is not actually on the table. His head is, and his arms are. The rest of him is a dummy, but it's moving, like it's breathing like it's him. And then out of nowhere, the alien springs from his chest. None of them knew it was happening. None of them knew what the hell was going on, because they literally just watched someone they worked the last 6 months with explode in front of their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene you see in the movie is their actual reaction to something completely unknown. So it's getting a genuine reaction to something just like the characters would have seen when they experienced the chestburster for the very first time. And then from there, it just goes fucking downhill in the movie because it rapidly grows in size. Shut up, Siri. Shut. So you get that shock and awe that they felt as actors was put into the film the way it needed to be. So it was a really interesting way of doing it.
Yeah. That nails that scene perfectly, and one of the reasons why I absolutely like it. And then, you know, to add on to it, the atmosphere is absolutely amazing. Just the little clicks and the little noises that the computers make, or just the random stuff makes, where you see, like, the little, you know, what, those water birds that are just, like, slowly drinking the water. Even down to, like, what the lighting, the noise that the lighting makes as it comes on.
That ticking noise.
The
white whir noise that, like, those fluorescent lights make.
It's absolutely, like, when you first watch it, you know, towards the beginning, when, like you said, everything's clean, it's not so bad, but just as the movie gets darker and darker and shit starts to happen, it starts to become more and more creepy.
There's not a lot of other movies that bring you into their environment better than Alien did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so, for as scary as that movie is and as intense as some of the scenes are, 95% of the movie is very calm.
Mm-hmm.
And it just draws you in, you know. Yeah. It's like that classic storytelling. You draw them in, then you go loud for a reaction. Like, that's what they're doing, but they do it so well. They do it with everything. Like you said, the ambient noise of the lights, the clicking of computers turning on and off, the flashing of lights in the background, mm-hmm. shit like that. It's done fantastically. It's a wonderful movie.
And the score was just fantastic. The score just has that, like, sci-fi, you know, sound to it from beginning to end, right where they start the credits, you know.
And also, alien. How good is the second one too, right?
And that's what's completely
different
it.
Movie, yeah. But it's so amazing. Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
And one last note on Alien, talking about the score, the audio, and stuff like that. Ridley Scott did something different than most horror movies did, and still do. Is he reversed the audio? So what I mean by this is he has that alien theme you hear, and it slowly builds. But when shit's going to happen, instead of having it slowly build and crescendo up to it, he actually cuts it off. He stops it. It goes the other direction. So then all you hear is the ambient noise. and then like the tick of the alien or mm-hmm. like the movement of something. Because there's a couple of times where legitimate jump scares happen where it's not even an alien, it's one of the other people on the ship, and they almost run into each other because they're being so quiet that one hears one little noise and like literally is gonna like just pounce on the other person, you know what I mean? Like one of those, or like they scare themselves because they go to move and do something because they think it's gonna be there and it's not. And the best part is he just brings the music down so all you hear is the surrounding noises. So like Mike said, he draws you into it. And all of a sudden you're focused because you think, oh, I know it's coming, it's going to happen. And that's when he gets you with the jump scare properly, because he doesn't do what's expected, but it's still something that's going to get you off your seat, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And there's a couple times in the movie, too, where they get you with a fake jump scare. It's a jump scare, but again, it's like a crew member. And then there's that moment of oh, nothing's happening. And then, bam, real fucking problems happen, which is so good. You know, like, that's the best. When you could fake someone out, scare them, be like, oh, okay, and have them take that breath. And then as they're finishing that breath to scare them again, it's the best. Yep. It's the best.
Boom. All right. Michael, your number one top horror movie.
All right. To go along with my theme of my other ones, what are my favorite things? Chewing scenery and delivering dialogue. So my number one, The Shining.
Very nice.
Yeah, like, that was another one I looked at and was like, ooh.
The movie, not the TV movie.
Yeah, the movie. Jack Nicholson's son. Right. Like, Jack being Crazy Jack is one of the greatest things of all time. Like,
Jack being Jack?
Like, yeah, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Shining, him as the Joker. Just, you know what I mean? Like, it's so good. And the movie is like, you want to talk about bringing it into the environment? The noise of that fucking tricycle going from hardwood to carpet to hardwood to carpet for like what seems like 30 fucking minutes. And it's like, what?
2 seconds?
Yeah. Yeah, 30 seconds. You know what I mean? But it feels forever. Mm-hmm. And then the two creepy little girls, the people appearing there, the fucking hallways in and out with blood. Like, I saw that movie way younger than I should have seen that movie, and it fucked me up. Like, it stuck with me real good. And then when I go back and watch it as an adult, I'm like, fuck, man, this is a really well done movie. Like, this is a really good movie.
It's a very iconic movie.
What we talked about earlier, it's a huge space, but it's so isolated it almost feels claustrophobic again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's nothing, they can't get help, you know. The cast essentially is, you know, the mom, the dad, the kid.
Yep.
You had
the bartender.
Yeah, will come.
You have the old caretaker.
I'm like, you'll get other characters, but like the little girls, but like the cook, right? Actual.
The cook is, yeah, he's there at the beginning.
And then leaves,
Yeah. And then like the scene where Jack Nicholson starts going, and obviously, again, same thing with the Jaws music. It's kind of a jokey joke scene now, but when he bursts through that door and he yells, "Here's Johnny!"
It wasn't joking.
It wasn't joking, dude. And when you watch it, like if you just watch that clip, you're like, "Ah, Jack Nicholson's a crazy fuck." Yeah. When you watch that movie, that scene fucking sucks, dude. Like you're like, "Oh Jesus Christ, he's so creepy." And then when he's, you know, fucking laboring through that maze and it's cold and he's yelling and he looks all batshit crazy and he's his eyes are frightening. But really, really fun to watch. So, yeah.
Shining. And it's if you've read the book, it's different enough to be kind of its own original thing. It takes the idea of it, but it does different stuff.
Yeah, which is why Homeboy didn't like it.
Yeah, Stephen King didn't really care for it just because of a lot of the changes that they made.
But I feel like,
but it's
not, as a movie, that's a better movie than his book completely. Well,
you would never be able to make his book because it's way too long. You know, just the beginning of it where they explain more of The Shine would be also almost just a movie itself.
Yeah, because there's a whole section
in the
way
town
before they go to Colorado and at all.
And the music, too. Like, just when he's just driving up the road to the hotel. And then, like, again, we talk about, like, you know, the hardwood, the carpet on the tricycle. But there's how many scenes where he's just sitting in a big, giant room by himself typing?
Yeah.
Like, that old typewriter noise is fucking creepy, dude. Like,
in that scene where it's just, like, from behind and he's just, he's trying to type out his novel. But, yeah.
Should watch it.
I do want to say that, did you know that scene where he's hacking through the door and he says, "Here's Johnny," that was improvised by him. That wasn't in the script.
Because it's a dope scene. It kind of takes you out of it if you don't understand the reference.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of confused. But I think for, like, if you understand the reference, it doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah. Because
that was the old Johnny Carson intro thing, and that was right at the height of his thing. So that was, like...
And you want to talk about
a huge pop culture reference in a movie, which almost seems out of place, but it just works. You know what I mean? Like, there's something about it that works. And it's just the sheer craziness of how he delivered it, I think.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about, like, surprising your actors, that was another scene where that's her fear. That's fear on what's her name's face. She did not expect them to be hacking through the door.
I can't remember. Fuck me.
Olive oil?
Well, yeah, she's olive oil.
And the greatest Popeye movie ever?
And the only Popeye movie
ever. Shut your fucking mouth. That's
but also classic. The greatest. Yes. What's it? Not.
I can't remember her name. I can remember her face. I can't remember her name.
Huh?
Patricia Arquette?
No.
No.
The other way, it's. It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Dick's not just going to.
Yeah, he's going to be Cody.
All right. Well, that's my numero uno, motherfucker. Cody?
Boom. All right. So I promised you.
Red Eye? Is it Red Eye?
It's not Red Eye. It is another movie with Cillian Murphy.
Inception?
Called Sunshine.
Oh, yeah. Sunshine.
Well, fuck yourself. What's Sunshine?
Sunshine is another really good Danny Boyle movie.
It's a really good movie.
The guy made 28 Days Later. It is basically about...
You love Danny Boyle or what?
I do.
Would you marry him? Boom!
But this one is a space movie as well.
The space movie? Really?
Yeah.
That's good?
Yep. Boom.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've never watched it because the trailers made it look like ass.
I actually bought it without even watching it first.
Because it was a space movie.
Yeah.
But this came out right around the same time as like all those other shitty space movies.
So I was
just like,
But I would say that I went into it knowing absolutely zero about it, with the exception of what was on the back of the DVD box at the time, and the fact that it had Cillian Murphy in it. So I knew
and
that
Captain
it,
America
was Chris Evans in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this was before he was Chris Evans. Like,
he was the Human Torch.
Yep, Human Torch.
Yeah. So I didn't really look into it much of that. Like, I didn't really look to, you know, oh, Chris Evans is in it. It might be a decent movie. So I bought it, and I will admit I keep forgetting about this one.
Uh-huh.
But no, I do, because I've only seen it maybe twice. Like I said, I own the DVD somewhere. You can probably find it here easier than you can find it at my place.
Yes.
Absolutely fantastic movie. Absolutely fantastic.
Mike, have you seen Event Horizon?
Yes.
Okay. Imagine that.
But good.
But good. And also... See,
I think Event Horizon fucked
But also way because... more fucked up.
Yes.
So, let me break down this premise for you.
Not so supernatural either.
So, the sun is dying. Okay?
Like,
the
like
sun.
Big like, ball in the sky.
Big ball, the big fire thing.
And they have to drill a hole to the center of the earth.
No,
because that movie sucks too.
The core sucked, and the other one, Deep Impact, also sucked.
Shut your mouth.
They both were awful.
Contact, and they had to make Matthew McConaughey use that chick from.
I'll slap you in your fucking face. I'm just kidding. So basically, scientists and engineers come up with this idea: hey, we can actually reignite the sun by using a chemical reaction and a nuclear explosion. The problem with this is, we have no way of getting that payload to the dying sun. So what they do is they craft a ship that is solar powered that can use the power of the dying sun to then push itself into the sun and then explode. The problem with it is because of the lack of technology and the way they have to have a crew to get it there. And this crew is going to have to stay there. There's no coming back. So there's a little bit of cabin fever in it. And then just a more fucked up shit from there. And there's some other stuff I don't want to bring up because it ruins some of it. But
I think you can get away with saying that the movie takes place from the view of Icarus 2.
Yes.
They don't know what happened to the crew of Icarus 1.
Icarus 2 is the one Cillian Murphy's on.
Yeah.
There was another one. The reason they needed a crew... to man it all the way there is because of something that happened to Icarus One, which they do not know yet. But
is it here?
I think it's in here.
Oh.
But what happens when it does happen? I might have it on Blu-ray too. I have it on digital, so I can't really let you borrow it. It's like,
yeah, let me your iTunes real quick.
Fuck you. Hey, why did you watch all these movies again? Mike borrowed my iTunes. That's one thing they need to do is like loan. Like I need to, like I wish I could loan you guys a movie.
Yeah, that'd be pretty dope. It'd
be dope as shit.
Hey, for even if it's
like a rental type thing. It's like 24, 48 hours. Once you start playing, you can watch as many times as you want that 24, 48 hours.
Yeah.
But anyways, so basically shit goes awry and stuff happens and it's just super suspenseful, fucked up. I love it.
Yeah. Very slow burn at the beginning because you don't.
It's not as bad as all those other space movies that came out at that time.
No,
because it's less about space and more about the people.
Yeah,
just like 28 Days Later was more.
Did you
less
think
about
the trailer movie. Made it look shitty?
Yes. Okay. And I was upset because I was like, I don't think this is gonna be a good movie. But I love 28 Days Later, and I like Danny Boyle, and I liked Cillian Murphy. So I was like, really kind of upset that he was like it kind of looked. But I was like, I'm gonna watch it because. I like that stuff. Trying to think of what else. There was something else he did. Oh, Millions. There's another one I knew he did between there. I was like, it was a really good movie, but it was under the radar. And this one came out, and I was like, whoa, here we go. It's more, it's going to be fucked up. Trailer wasn't the greatest, but I think that's not really his fault. But yeah, no, good times.
Yep.
Great oldies. Yeah.
So go watch all those movies, people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boom. It's
only like 11 of them ish, right? Sure.
Well, actually, there's less than that.
Yeah.
Because it would have been 15.
About 11, right?
13? So we all had one that was the same. Yeah. So that drops two off the list.
We had two. I don't know. I'm not good at math. Let's just sign off and make people watch fucking dope movies, yo.
Boom. All right, so that's it for this week. Comes naturally, we are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and just usual, you motherfuckers just came naturally.
Eric, you want me to tell the story about how I almost shit my pants today?
Yeah, I do.